I read an article recently from HubSpot that mentioned that 80% of sales require an average of 5 follow-ups to close the deal. However, 44% of sales reps follow up with a prospect only once before giving up. Today on the Champion Forum podcast, we discuss the art of the sales follow-up call.
This is the Champion Forum podcast with Jeff Hancher, the forum for leaders, champions, and dreamers.
Take control of your career at Compassionate Care Unlimited, located in Western Pennsylvania.
Compassionate Care Unlimited is hiring RNs and LPNs. Choose your own schedule for a perfect work-life balance.
Plus, enjoy competitive pay and 24/7 personal support from their woman, nurse, and veteran-owned business.
Enhance your skills with their CPR training classes for individuals and businesses. Learn more at CompassionateCarePA.com.
Be uplifted. Be supported. Be part of the Compassionate Care Unlimited team and apply today.
Compassionate Care Unlimited is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Jeff Hancher here, and I'm on a mission to help everyone reach their fullest potential. I am fresh off of being in a room full of amazing sales professionals for our one-day sales academy. We had amazing sales professionals that flew from all over the U.S., and even one of them came from Canada. Needless to say, I am still riding an adrenaline that you can only get from being in a room like that. And during these events that I have, especially the sales events, I do my best to engage with as many of these salespeople as possible on the breaks and over lunch because I'm intrigued to learn from them. I start probing with questions. I want to get a feel for their biggest challenges, what's going on. You know, salespeople, why I love asking a lot of questions to salespeople is they're out there in the economy. They're out there in the business. They're up and down the local towns, the local streets, in and out of different industries. Man, you want a good pulse of what's really happening? Just start asking salespeople, you know, some probing questions. And as you can imagine, as I'm asking these salespeople, like, hey, what are some of your biggest challenges? And, you know, what are some things that are holding you back from winning at the highest level? When I ask salespeople this, by and large, prospecting is always at the top of the list of challenges that I hear. You know, getting new meetings, getting in front of new prospects, and so forth. However, for this class, it was a little different. The challenge I heard from most of them was that they were having a hard time converting sales after the initial sales meeting. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, here's a group that they're getting the meetings, but they're having a hard time with conversion after the initial meeting. It's safe to say that most of your prospects, they're not going to buy from you instantly. Now, some will, but by and large, they won't. You know, there's a fear of change. What if I get it wrong? I need to think about it, all the stuff, right? You cannot simply introduce someone to your products or services once and expect that they're just going to go the rest of the way by themselves. Well, hey, you know, this sounds great. We're just going to move forward. Like, no, there's things that we have to do as salespeople to continue to add value and to continue to push the sales process forward. And unfortunately, they're not just going to do it. It's just not true. It just doesn't happen that way. They're not going to get there on their own. That's why they need us as salespeople. Every salesperson knows that they need to follow up. We all know this. If you're in sales and you're listening, you know this. I'm being Captain Obvious here. Hey, salespeople, here's some advice. Follow up. Okay, great. Thanks. We know this. We know that we need to follow up. But many fall into the trap of this sea of sameness by starting their follow-up call with the dreaded words, I'm just following up, or something like that, right? Like, you say it however you want. So here we are. We're in sales. We don't close them out on this said meeting. And now we're going to need a follow-up call. And so guess what? They're not calling us after this initial meeting. We're typically calling them. We're following up with them. And by and large, what salespeople do is they'll make an outbound call and they'll say, hey, just following up. My advice to you, if you're in sales, is to stop using the deadly F word altogether, meaning never say again, I'm just following up. That's what 90% of salespeople say. And decision makers and prospects are over it. It's stale, it's stagnant, and it's not a call to action. Using the same ineffective, outdated, and irritating follow-up messages wastes everybody's time. And you're not a time waster. You're here with purpose. You're here on a mission. You're here to add value. That's why you don't do that. Does any of this sound familiar? Are you there? Have you fallen into this trap? Hey, John, I just wanted to follow up and see if you have any questions from the proposal I sent. Or, hey, Brad, I just wanted to reach out again since I've not heard from you. Or, hey, Abigail, I was just touching base from our meeting last week. Or, hey, Janelle, I was just checking in to see if you got my last 11,000 emails that I sent you, right? And I'm being sarcastic here, but you get my drift. Like, we're better than that. There's zero substance to this kind of messaging. Just following up, just checking in or touching base on emails, it might make you feel like you're moving a prospect forward, but you're not. You're really not. They make you feel like you're keeping the momentum going, but you're really not. And we get this false sense sometimes as salespeople that, hey, look, I'm busy, I'm active, I'm following up. Gosh, I just sent Brad the 11,000th email follow-up. So, hey, hats off to me, man. Ground and pound, I am persistent. You're persistently annoying. I mean, let's just call it what it is. These are only irritating and aggravating your prospects. And by the way, they got 20 other salespeople with 20 other products and services that are doing the same thing, and all we become is white noise. If you want to differentiate yourself, stand out, and rise above the noise, one easy, simple way that will put you ahead of your competition is this. Communicate differently. Communicate differently. You know, John Maxwell says it best. He says, you have to get out of the people pile. And it's so true. If you get out of the people pile, now they have ears for you. They know your voice. Why? Because it's different, right? In this super busy, fast-paced world that we're in, we cannot afford to interrupt prospects without providing value and a compelling reason for them to keep the conversation going. They are busy. They do not want you wasting their time. If you're not connecting with prospects, it's time to change your approach. We aren't always going to get to close the sale in the meeting that we're in, and I get that. I mean, look, if you can, great. Hats off to you. You're elite. But that's not always going to happen. I understand very well that sales follow-ups are necessary. I mean, I carried the bag myself for years. I get it. I've been there. I've been in the throes of door-to-door sales. The first thing to consider is, how did you close out the meeting? Like, if I didn't get that contract signed, if I wasn't able to close this out, I want you to look back at some of your past meetings and ask yourself, how did I close out that meeting? What did that look like? Here's the thing. Before closing out any sales meeting, get the next one set. This means a mutually agreed date and time with a calendar invite that is sent and they have accepted. If they won't agree to the next meeting, you're already facing an uphill battle. This is an indicator that you didn't show value in this meeting, or that they don't see any value in meeting with you again. The prospect is trying to let you off the hook and not be confrontational by saying things like, well, Jeff, I need to think about it. Or, hey, I'll tell you what, Jeff, follow up with me in a couple of weeks. They might as well be telling you, you are adding no value to my life. Don't let this be a false sense of, wow, we're really on to something. You know, this is like the quote in Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance, right? And we're like, all right, wow, I need to think about it. Well, that's not a no. Hey, follow up with me in a couple weeks. Wow, outstanding. We're still in the game. We're still in the hunt. This is short for them saying you're not valuable. If you can't close the meeting and you go for a calendar invite and we set that meeting up right before we go and you're still getting resistance to a follow-up meeting that's concrete in the calendar, you're done. But if you do get agreement on a follow-up meeting, maybe they really do need to think about it, but they're committing to meeting with you again. Worst case scenario is this. When you have an established date and time of the next follow-up meeting, then you don't have to make that follow-up call of, hey, just following up. No, it's already in the books. And it lets you know where you stand. Because if they don't give you that follow-up meeting, they're telling you, you missed something here. I'm not feeling it. Sometimes, though, there may be a real need for a follow-up meeting. The key here is to not leave the follow-up vague. Like, I'll call you sometime next week to check in or follow up. I mean, you get off of what you think is a great sales call, and they're like, hey, yeah, man, this all sounds good. I'd like to get Joe from, the plant in here to take a look at what you have as well. And that's when the sales rep says, I'll call you sometime next week to check in or follow up. Don't do that. Like, let's go concrete. The key here is to set very clear next steps. The next step is to be prepared with impactful communication for when you do make the follow-up call. So if you can't get that in a calendar invite, or even if you do get it in a calendar invite and you're calling to just confirm the meeting, whatever it might be, just remember that communication, that it has to be relevant. Whatever you say, it has to be relevant. It has to be impactful. Here's a few alternatives that I want to give you today rather than just using the F word. First, the thing that is so important is that you have to remind the prospect why you're calling. Remind the prospect what prompted the follow-up call in the first place. This means going back to your initial meeting and reminding them of the pain or the pleasure that was discussed. Because guess what? So much has happened between that meeting and your follow-up call. They can't even remember what they said. This is your role. This is what you tell them. This means you're going to let them know exactly what took place in this last meeting and the momentum that we had. You might say something like, hey, Brad, it's Jeff Hancher. I'm calling from ABC Company. Brad, when we spoke last week, you had two concerns. First, you indicated that you were concerned about having your current delivery times go too long. And second, that you wanted to streamline your vendors to a single source solution. Wow. Doesn't that sound like a far cry from, oh, hey, Brad, I'm glad you picked up. I was just following up. Like, okay, you're already a time waster, right? When I come with that initial script, now I'm reminding you. I'm reminding you, you had two big concerns. You were concerned about delivery times, and you needed to streamline your vendor sourcing. And I told you I could do that. We needed to have a follow-up call to talk about that. Now what I'm doing is I'm triggering their memory of, oh, yeah, Jeff, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I do remember leaving that meeting and feeling like we needed to have a follow-up call. Now we can get that thing rescheduled. In this scenario, the salesperson is reminding the prospect of why they agreed to the call. We do this because we know that clients are busy, prospects are busy, decision makers are busier than ever. They're going to forget, or that the urgency that they had last week in the meeting may not be the same urgency this week. We have to recreate the urgency that was already there and the value that we delivered that was already there, because they've already forgotten about it. And then, without skipping a beat, you become very assertive and very assumptive with what the next step should be. So you follow up that initial, hey, here's two things that we said in the last meeting, and then boom, you go right into this transition. So Brad, what I'd like to recommend at this stage is two things. First, we review the items that you have concerns about, and second, we'll take a closer look at customizing a better solution for you and getting you the best value for your outsourcing dollar. Then we'll determine the next steps if it makes sense. How's that sound to you, Brad? Now it's like, all right, now I have a clear path. I have a clear call to action. Now I'm forcing Brad into one of two ways. Yes, let's meet, because by the way, doesn't this sound logical and doesn't it sound valuable? Okay, yeah, let's meet. Now, he might say no. Now I'm going to smoke out the real objection. What's going on? But either way, this is not wishy-washy, and it's very, very assumptive. It's very assertive. Not obnoxious, not aggressive, but it's very intentional. It's a benefit to them, and it's a call to action. Folks, my experience in all of my years selling, in all of my years training and developing salespeople, my experience tells me that decision makers love a clear, concise agenda. They want an organized salesperson who doesn't waste their time. They want someone to take control and move the process forward. This gives them a confidence and a respect towards you as an expert. So we have to create a call to action. Hey, listen, Brad, the last time we spoke, you mentioned fill in the blank. Or, hey, based on the deadline that we discussed, we need to fill in the blank, whatever it is. Or, hey, Brad, in our last discussion, you suggested that we fill in the blank. Now what we're doing is we're pulling them back into remembering what took place in the last meeting. Hey, you suggested, hey, based off the deadline that you've established that we talked about, we need to move this thing forward. Hey, the last time we spoke, you mentioned this. Anytime you can remind them of what they said in the meeting, boom, they're going to jog their memory. Oh, yeah, we got to get back to that. Oh, yeah, I need to have that meeting. If you're emailing a follow-up, which I get, like, hey, look, sometimes you got to go from, you know, you called them 15 times, it went to voicemail, you got to go to an email follow-up. Make sure you're staying with the same theme here with follow-up. For emails, I like to educate them on something that brings value. You might send them an email that reads something like, hey, Brad, I know it's a big decision to change from the status quo. That's why I thought you might be interested in this article. And folks, don't sleep on this. When you're emailing and you send something of value, now you're not annoying. Matter of fact, you're adding value to the relationship. It could be something about something that came up, a question that you asked about their business, and they're like, yeah, I'm really looking to find a way to market this product better. You're not even selling marketing goods. You're selling like office supplies. It has nothing to do with you. But hey, you read this article, and you're like, hey, I remembered you talked about, you know, creating a better agenda, a website or whatever. I just wanted to send you this article. Now you're not annoying. Now you're a partner. Now you're saying, I remembered what you said. And so you say, hey, look, I know making change can be a challenge. That's why I thought you might be interested in this article. I mean, you're sending them a case study, maybe a webinar, an ebook, whatever it might be, on a topic that highlights the value that is important to them. Even better yet, if you can send them something that highlights the value of your program, even better. And then you just close it out with, hey, let's set up a time to talk through your questions. You see the difference? We're providing value. Drop the touching base and the air quotes checking in mentality from your vocabulary entirely. When making follow-up calls, become an asset to these decision makers. That's when they really want to work with you. By the way, this just popped in my mind as it relates to emails. I want to share this nugget with you all. And if you use it and it works, I want you to email me at info@jeffhancher.com. You know, you fall into this follow-up abyss of quicksand and you just can't get out. And so you're calling, you're emailing, hey, I'm just following up. Hey, I'm just following up. And you've sent them 100 emails. Stop that. Call it your third email. You know, they've ghosted you at this point, right? You're gone. Here's what I want you to do. And salespeople, do this for me, please. I want you to Google bear sitting on a picnic table. You're going to see the most ridiculous, funny looking picture of a black bear sitting on a picnic table. By the way, this is a real picture. It's not Photoshopped or anything. I don't know who took it. All you're going to do is screenshot that picture. I want you to drop this into the body of the email, and I want you to enlarge it. In the subject line, I want you to put this, I can barely take it. Barely is spelled wrong with all caps, B-E-A-R-L-Y. I can barely take it. And boom, there's a picture of dude on the picnic table. They're going to see this thing, and they're going to be like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. What the heck is that? Then right under the picture, you're going to open it up with, Ha ha, see how I did that? A little bit of comedic relief, a little bit of humor, and then boom. Then you go into that, hey, Brad, I know it's a big decision to change from the status quo. That's why I thought you might be interested in an article or more information. I hope this adds value to your program. Hey, the last time we talked, you were trying to accomplish a deadline. You were trying to accomplish streamlining your vendor solution. Why don't you say we set up a time to talk through some of these questions and see what value we can add for you and your team. Now it's like, oh, you got me. And look, some of you right now are saying, Jeff, I am a professional salesperson. I am not stooping to the level to send a picture of a bear sitting on a picnic table. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I sold in a global accounts division for a Fortune 500 company. I called on senior leaders from well-known names of companies that you would know. And I will tell you, I use this strategy on them. And the whole point of this was get out of the sea of sameness. And I would get email responses like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've seen in a long time. I laughed for 3 minutes straight. That's all I was trying to do. You're running 100 miles an hour. I got you to stop. I got you to stop. Try the bear on the picnic table. Email me, info@jeffhancher.com. Let me know how it worked. Here's the bottom line. Be creative. Be different. When you change your approach, you will produce different results. When you change your language, you stand out and you win more business. If you're looking to enhance the sales training and results in your company, and you'd like to learn more about having me come into your company to provide the Sales Academy training, or if you would like more information on our open enrollment Sales Academy that we host frequently in Pittsburgh, email us at info@jeffhancher.com. Really appreciate you all joining today. Be sure to share this episode with the salespeople in your life that are working hard to convert more sales. Stop using the F word. And keep turning the pressure into potential.
The Champion Forum Podcast with Jeff Hancher. Lead, inspire, win.